Daniel chapter number 3, verses number 23 through 25. Undo the do. I want to invite you to go a place with me this morning. The place in which I would invite you to come with me is a place of reflection. A place in which you go back and you look at some of the things that you have been concerned about in life. The things in life in which you prayed, petitioned, pleaded with God, and you said, "Lord, please don't let that happen to me." And to your surprise, in spite of your praying, pleading, and petitioning, it happened anyway. When the words led to warfare, when the disagreement led to a divorce, where little Johnny, who was a juvenile, ended up in jail. God, why did you allow it to happen to me? Today I want to talk to you, I want to share with you the story of the three Hebrew boys. Their story is a lot like we are today, in which we are placed into a strange place and then we are given the opportunity to sell out. They, in fact, were sold into slavery and they became slaves. And maybe you're thinking, that has absolutely nothing to do with me. I beg to differ. You have a so-called friend in your life that sold you out. When that friend sold you out, all of the secrets, all of the trust that you had in them, all of a sudden it was gone. It disappeared. And you were left wondering, please tell everything with the exception of this one thing.
Amen.
That I shared with you.
Amen.
And the moment that you got to work the next day, you discovered that that was the first thing that they shared.
Come on.
See, sometimes people will get information from you, set you up, and then they'll use it to leverage to hurt you with the information. Sometimes you can be a friend to someone, but there's no guarantees that that person is a friend to you. And so here you are being a friend, and here you are thinking that you really do have a prayer partner, when you only discover that you have someone that is leaking out all of your personal information. People will sell you out in a minute for nothing.
Amen.
I find it strange how sometimes people who don't like one another will come together just to get you.
Say so,
the moment that they get you, they split up. They go back to disliking one another. But at least they got you.
Amen.
There are some things in life in which God is calling us into that we really are not obedient to God, and so we have to suffer the consequences of God because of our actions.
Amen.
Now, we love to talk about the just side of God and how if God is faithful, he'll do this, and God is just, and he does all these things, and he's a loving God. But there's also a wrath that is in God. Because God doesn't like sin. He hates sin. So God has to judge sin. And so sometimes God will let you do what you do. And so when you do what you do, God sometimes will sit back, allow you to run your course. After you ran your course, hit the wall, it did not work, you got a big knot on your head, and you're unemployed, and everything is all jacked up. He says, now you want to come to me?
Come on.
Thank God that we can cast all our cares upon Him, because He really cares about us. And so whatever it is in life that you do, or whatever it is that Satan puts on you, God has the power to undo your do.
Thank you, Lord.
The young folks, they make it do what it do, boo. And what they mean is that you got to use your talent and you got to make whatever it is that you need to make happen. You can't sit around waiting on somebody else to do it for you. You got to do it yourself. But whenever you're doing something, you have to make sure that whatever you're doing, that you do it with prayer and supplication. Because if you do you action of God, you better believe it's going to be a train wreck.
Amen.
God sometimes allows things to happen. And as God allows things to happen in our life, and when we get to the dead end of that thing, God is right there waiting for us. Now, unlike a friend that we have here on this earth, God doesn't come to you and give you 59 and a half questions as to why you did it and who did you tell. God is not interested in all that. What God says is that if you come to Him, that He is faithful to forgive you. He is a just God. And so when you find yourself going through something, you find Satan putting something on you and you cannot handle it, you need to know that God is right there. But even though God is right there, sometimes God will not show up in your mess until it's real, real bad. And you're wondering, God, I've been praying to you a long time ago. If you would have shown up then, it wouldn't have got to this point. But sometimes God has to allow something to run a course. And so when it runs the course and He steps in, you know it was nobody but God. Then you can give Him the praise. Then you know that God delivered you. Then you know that God and God alone brought you through that situation. And so God sometimes will allow you to go through something. And in the midst of going through that thing, nothing works. I don't care how well you had a plan. Nothing works for you. And so at the end of it, you hit the road and then you say, God, I just don't know what to do. I'm about to give up. And then God steps in. God sometimes will allow us to go through something. And when we're going through it, it seems like God disappears. But God is trying to show us that you cannot do anything independent of God. The thing that you have to remember about God is that God says, no good thing will I withhold from you. And so if God will not withhold any good thing from you, you have to know that all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord. Now, I may not understand why I have to go through this fire, but I do know that somehow it's going to work out for my good. It may not feel good, but I know that God has His hands in the midst of His thing. And so if God has not left me, then when I'm going through something, I do know that I have a friend in the midst of my struggle that I can lean and depend on. I wonder, have you ever been going through something and you found out that all your friends disappeared, but God said, I'll never leave you, never forsake you. I wonder, have you ever been going through something and your bosom buddy messed around and told all your business, and you declared that if they told that, your life was through. And what you discover is that you still live after they told all your business. I wonder, have you ever been going through something and the worst thing imaginable did happen, and in spite of it happening, as soon as it happened, God stepped into your mess.
Amen.
Sometimes God will allow something to happen so that He can step in after the thing is done. See, we pray to God and we think that God is supposed to protect us, and also God is supposed to prevent everything from happening. And that is so not God. Sometimes God, not Satan, sometimes God will expose you to something. Sometimes when you say, well, Satan is wearing me out, and God is saying, no, that's me. I'm trying to buffet you. I'm trying to get you in place. Because you're my child. He says, I have a right to spank your butt. And so we all all in the club, and God is saying, I'm going to tear you up until you get back to the church. And you saying, I wish Satan would leave me alone. And Satan is saying, I wish you'll stay where you are. And God is saying, but I know the plan that I have for your life. And because I have a plan for you, you are too valuable to sit in the club. I'm going to get you out of that situation. Have you ever found yourself in a situation where only God could deliver you from? Have you ever been going through something and it was so bad and you just had to give up and just say, Lord, I just leave the pen, turn it over to you. And when you release that thing, God showed up. The three Hebrew boys found themselves dealing with a crazy king. And because they were dealing with Nebuchadnezzar, it was very easy for the other counselors to come to Nebuchadnezzar and says, oh king, we're going to do something for you. We are going to establish a rule where every time somebody hears the music playing, they have to bow down and worship you. Listen to me carefully. Be careful with friends who always stroke you. Be careful with friends that never tell you the truth. And the truth is, sometimes you're wrong. Well, if you're my friend, why would you tell me that? Because I love you.
Amen.
See, being a friend comes with a duty. Being a friend doesn't mean that you just allow your friends to do whatever they want. You have an obligation to that person. And so Nebuchadnezzar had a bunch of people around him, but he had no true friends around him. And so all of a sudden the people says, now listen, every time the people hear the music, they must bow down and worship you, Nebuchadnezzar. And so they start playing the music, and the three Hebrew boys said, we're only going to bow down to worship God. Listen, God will never place you in a situation that is beyond your strength. God would never place you in a situation that is beyond His grace. Don't ever feel like you have to do something, because if you don't do it, God cannot rescue you. God can always and will always undo whatever do you find yourself in. You don't have to compromise with God. You don't have to water down the word of God. If God said it, you stand on His word. You may be all alone, but you stand on His word. The three Hebrew boys found themselves standing because they want to dance to the music. Sometimes people will get upset with you because you won't dance to their beat. Because you won't do what they say to do. And so if you don't do what they say that you're supposed to do, then all of a sudden they got attitudes and they don't want to deal with you. And if that's the friends that you have, you need to check them. And when I say check them, I mean you really need to walk away. Because every person is unique. If we're both trying to get somewhere, it's okay if I go down A Street and you go down Z Street, so long as we get there. You can't micromanage people. You can't handle people. You can't control people. People will do what people do. But how can you expect people to grow if you don't give them room to grow?
Amen.
And so sometimes, even in a relationship, in a friendship, you have to back off and say, here's the goal, this is where we're going, and it's okay if you take a different route than me, so long as we have one thing in common, and that is serving the name of the Lord.
Amen.
And so the three Hebrew boys found themselves in a fire. And now I found that strange, because they had been praying, they had been touching and agreeing, and God still allowed them to be thrown in the fire. Not only were they thrown in the fire, but when they were thrown in the fire, the Bible declares that the heat was turned up 7 times greater. Isn't it something when you're going through something, and one thing opens the door to another thing, and here comes another thing, and here comes another thing, and as soon as I get the car fixed, then the tire go flat, as soon as I patch the tire, then the battery is dead, as soon as I fix the battery, now the plumbing break, as soon as I get the plumbing straight, and now my child needs some money for school. It's just one thing after another. And so the heat is being turned up. What do you do when the heat is being turned up in your life? I know somebody who can control all temperatures. I know somebody who can make everything all right. I know somebody who is so cool they can walk on water. I know somebody who is so cool they can say, Lazarus, come forth. I know somebody who is so cool he can say, go get the fish. The fish got money in his mouth. I know somebody who is so cool they can hang on a cross and never say a mumbling word. I know Jesus. The three Hebrew boys, they find themselves there in a fire. And then Nebuchadnezzar says, now listen. Now Nebuchadnezzar liked the three Hebrew boys. He liked them because he understood that they were boys of wisdom. And so he didn't want that to happen to them. So he was upset that he had to do something, but he had to show his friends that he wasn't going to take that. Sometimes the hell that you're going through is somebody trying to prove a point to somebody else. And it's not about you. It's about them trying to show how big and bad they are. And so here it is, the three Hebrew boys. They find themselves in a fire. And now I can only imagine someone throwing you in a fire. Your clothes on. The Bible even says they had their hosiery on. They had their underwear, everything on. Just drop them in the fire. Turn the fire up. And when they turn the fire up, they drop them in the fire. And it seems like it would have been all over at that time. And then Nebuchadnezzar says, I looked in the fire and I saw a fourth one that looks like the Son of God. Somebody is looking in your fire this morning and they see you still living. They see you still surviving. And they say, it looks like Jesus walking with them. I can't tell, but I know they're still not consumed. Somebody thought the fire you were going through would consume you. But Jesus stepped into your midst and he cooled your situation. He says, not yet, baby. I know it's hot in here, but you got to be cool under pressure. In the midst of going through something, he says, don't worry about what you're going through. Bills past due, I still got you. I know they're talking about you, but I still got you because Jesus showed up. Won't he show up in your mess? It may be when the heat is on, but even when the heat is on, Jesus will show up in your mess. And when Jesus shows up in your mess, he gently steps in. He sometimes won't even turn that fire off. He'll just step in and he'll just sit with you. You need to be up all night and you crying and you'll feel somebody gently touch you. That's the anointing. That's the presence of God. He says, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. But God, it seems like they're going to destroy me. And he says, for no weapon formed against you shall prosper. In the midst of you going through something, when it feels like everybody is against you, God is saying, baby, I'm getting ready to show up. Have you ever been going through something? And God says, here I am. I'm showing up. Bills past due, but I'm showing up. And so when God steps in the midst, and then Nebuchadnezzar come back, and he says, hey, Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He says, now, I put three of you in there. Who's the fourth one? Now, the number four in the Bible represents deliverance. When God steps in, he was number four. The Bible declares that he began to deliver them. I wonder if you ever been stuck in something and God stepped into your mess. Won't he deliver you? Won't he make a way out of no way? Won't he open a door? Won't he do the supernatural? Ain't God all right? One day, Jesus looked down and he saw you and I and he says, I gotta give you a way out. And he gave us Jesus Christ. Jesus says, I think it not robbery. I'll go down and I'll strap up on a cross. And they nailed him to the cross. And he says, baby, I got my eyes on you and you and you and you. And he says, I'm gonna die for you. But don't cry about me. He says, because in 3 days, I'm getting up out of here. To encourage somebody. You've been down and it seems like strike one, strike two, and strike three. And Jesus says, those were all foul balls. The Bible declares that God will make your crooked places. Strength. He's putting you right back where you belong. He says, this time, it's going to be a home run. Don't give up on God. God has not given up on you. See, God can undo your do. You got to trust God. When you begin to trust God, God says, I'll turn everything around. Listen to me carefully. Listen to what I'm saying. Point number one is this. There's always meaning in your madness. Whatever you're going through, you need to understand that God is trying to show you that He's sovereign. God is showing you, I'm big, bad enough to let you go through the thing. And when people say it is finished, it is over, I'm big and bad enough to come back and still get you. I'm talking to somebody. File bankruptcy. Your credit is awful. And you still got the car. I'm talking to somebody. Somebody told you nobody wants you. Nobody will ever love you. And God still lets you, Mr. Right. I'm talking to somebody. I'm talking about an impossible situation that is just right for a God who works ways out of no way. I'm talking to somebody who came from nothing, but look at you now. And if somebody were to see you and know the hell that you've been through and where you started from, they'll say nobody but God did that in your life. Because you know you weren't supposed to make it to where you made it. You know you didn't deserve all of that. You know, had it not been for the grace of God, you know that God has been walking with you. You know that God has been ordering your step. You know that God has put a hedge of protection around you. You ought to give Him some praise this morning, because God is worthy to be praised. You ought to praise Him this morning like God has really done something for you. You ought to praise Him this morning like if it had not been for the Lord on your side, you never would have made it. There's always meaning in your madness. Listen, point number two. Always expect a miracle out of your madness. Wherever God take you, He's setting you up. See, people look at it and they think that they did that to you. And God is saying, baby, it's a setup. But God, I'm down and out. And God is saying, it's a setup. He says, just stay where you are. But God, do you know how bad this is? I know exactly how you feel. But stay where you are. This is a setup. But God, my bills is past due. And I don't even have a job. But stay where you are. Because this is a setup. But God, do you understand that I see no way out? But stay where you are. This is a setup. And then all of a sudden, when the fire's really hot, when the heat is on, God begins to step in your situation. I don't know when He showed up. I just know He's there now. I don't know when He delivered me. I know that I just made somehow a way of an escape. And so God is saying, it's a setup, baby. And so God steps in your situation. And when God steps in your situation, the thing that looks so bad, all of a sudden, it's the launching point for God to deliver you. You remember the one that dug the ditch for you? Now God have to make him come back and pay you for what he already did. Oh, I'm talking to somebody. You know, God has a way of undoing what man tried to do to you. They thought that if they shift you around, you were going to lose your job. And somehow, your crazy self got a promotion. They thought if they walked out on you, somehow everything was going to fail. But somehow, you got a blessing. Somehow, God... undo your do. God will undo your do. I know your do look like doo-doo, but God will undo your with God is that God will do it in an instant. It doesn't take God a long time to turn your stuff around. I need to talk to somebody. You've been running from God for a long time. And God is knocking on your door. And he's saying, come home. And you say, God, I'm just too bad. I've been doing this too long. There's no hope for me.
Come on, come on.
No way out for me. And God is saying, that thing is just right. You're exactly where I want you. God is saying, I've been dealing with you for a long time. But God, I'm in the fire.
Thank you, Jesus.
And he says, I'm right there. I know you're in the fire. And he says, I'm right there. I'm talking to someone. I came to even encourage someone this morning. That you've messed up a lot of things. And God is saying, I'll undo that. But God, do you know what I've done? Yes, I let you did it. I allowed you to do it. Because I want to show you that I have sovereign power over you. That's the God that we serve. He says, in the midst of you going through something, I want you to look at me. I want you to focus on me. I want you to understand that I'm going to undo everything that you did. Would you stand with me this morning? I want to open the doors of the church this morning to someone. Someone who has messed things up. Come there.